God will give you all that you desire. And some people are satisfied with just a surface level relationship with Him. Now, God wants to call us into a deeper relationship. God has great things for us, but He will never force upon you something that you don't have faith for. That's why we must receive the promises by faith. The Bible says we must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God has offered things to us and says, now it's up to you whether you want to experience it, step into it. So if you're ready to step into more of what God has, this is kind of what this series about finances is about. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start preaching now. This is what finances is, the finances in the kingdom is about. I believe that we've limited God in our area of finances. I believe that we haven't really caught a hold of what God has intended for us when it comes to the way that He wants us to operate with our money. Because really, when we just look at kingdom finances from a money perspective, we've already missed the mark. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. The pastor, what about announcements? Forget the announcements. Let's get into the word. That's why I said our services will change. Let's do what the Holy Spirit wants, not what we've planned out. If you come on Wednesday nights, then what you're going to do is you're going to learn to hear the voice of God so you'll know the announcements ahead of time. There we go. Amen. Look at verse 19, Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now let me stop there for just a moment. God is not saying that you are not allowed to have a savings account. That's not the point that Jesus is making. I want you to understand a distinction between Old Testament and New Testament for just a moment. In the Old Testament, everything was about what a person did. Sin was defined by your action. So that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not tell a lie, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. So there's the Ten Commandments that we know about. Those are things that we are not supposed to do. And if you do one of those things, it is a sin. And so everything was focused in the law over what you do. It's kind of that way in society today. Laws are written if the speed limit says 55, then if you go over 55, you have broken the law. So your action. But when you're driving down the road and you're doing 55, but you really want to go over 55, but you don't, you're still keeping the law. Even though your heart says, I really want to go faster than this. But when it came to the new covenant, Jesus wanted to change our mindset. He said, you have heard that it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. He said, you've heard it said that, if somebody kills, then the right thing is for the other person to be killed. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You have heard that it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. But he wanted to go past the act and get to the heart. And he said, but I say unto you that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. Amen. And so as Jesus is preaching the kingdom or the gospel of the kingdom of God, he wanted to get past external actions and get to what was going on the inside. The New Testament is about what's happening on the inside of us, not what we're doing on the outside. Because if the inside is right, the outside will line up. If you have the mindset of a new covenant reality as a child of God, an heir of God, then there will be fruit that will back up or that will show what is going on. And so he even talked about, as we're talking about finances, he went to the Pharisees and he said, "You Pharisees," he said, "you tithe off of every little thing that comes in. You teach people to tithe off of the little mint leaf," is what he said. I mean, I don't care what it is. You know, if a penny comes in, then figure a way to get a tenth off the penny and make sure you put it in the offering bucket. I mean, that's what they were preaching as far as legalism when it came to their giving. And he said, these things you should have done. He wasn't saying that what you said was wrong, but he said you have overlooked the more important matters of the law of faith and of love and the things. The whole reason for why the law was given was to get people to a place of living out of their love and living out of faith, and so that everything that they do should be an expression of what God wants to do on the inside. So here, when he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also," he is lining us up with kingdom thinking. Where's your heart? Not where's your money, but where is your heart? So that's the reason why he said, you've got to start focusing on the kingdom, laying up treasure in heaven. Because when your heart's in the right place, when you're connected with the kingdom of God, then you're in a place to draw out of the kingdom. Now, turn with me over, and I've quoted it last week, Luke chapter 12, but I want you to see it. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22, I'm not going to read it, but that's where he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." He's going on about don't take thought for what you're going to wear. Some of you do that every day. We don't think about what we wear. And my wife says, "Did you not even think about what you're putting on? That doesn't even match." That's not what Jesus is talking about. But as you go down in verse 29, he says, "Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather, you seek the kingdom of God." Sounds a whole lot like what we just read about laying up treasures in heaven. As a matter of fact, we read that in Matthew chapter 6, which is just right after, or actually it's right before he starts talking about this. "Rather seeking the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." So see, it's not a matter of either or. It's getting priorities right. Because when you're seeking the kingdom, when you're going to the kingdom first, then you have the supply that you need. We're going to talk about that. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 32. This scripture, you should never, ever, ever forget with regards to your finances. Sell what you have and give alms. No, I'm not telling you this, that part of the scripture, although it's part of it. And there's a reason why he said this. Sell what you have and give, what did I say? Oh, wait a minute. I'm wrong verse. Verse 32. I read it wrong. My bad. "Fear not, little flock." This is the one. "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Read that with me. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Read it again. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Is there anything more black and white than that? Fear not. Whatever's going on in your situation, whatever financial problems you have, don't be afraid. Amen. And there's a reason why. Because it is, get a revelation of this, your Father's. Say, my Father's. My Father's. He did not say it is your gods. Amen. He said it is your father's. Remember, the Lord's been dealing with us about getting this concept, this revelation of God as our father, not God as somebody that is a distant being that we have to go to every now and then to get our needs supplied. But we have to have a relationship as a son to a father. The Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We are the daughters of God. We are the children of God. And so we don't call him God. We call him Father. And so it is your father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. The kingdom. Now, my question to you is there enough money in the kingdom?
Yes.
Is there enough for everything you need in the kingdom?
Yes.
So when Jesus, going back to Matthew chapter 6, says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but and thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves, verse 20, treasures in heaven where they do not come in. He's saying you're limited in the natural, but if you focus on the supernatural, then there's an unlimited supply. Now let's get to the heart of this. Where your treasure is, verse 21, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. Now understand the context. Hallelujah. I want to make sure that as I'm going through this, that you're getting a hold of the spirit behind it. Okay? The Bible says, and Jesus said this over and over, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, not when you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear. What does that mean? It means you have to make the decision to have ears to hear. Now, you may think, well, finances, I don't need to hear about this. Some of you may be okay from a financial standpoint, and maybe all your bills are paid. But I can tell you that wherever you are from a financial standpoint, that every person in this room desires for there to be more.
Amen.
Every person in this room desires to have more to be able to help the kingdom of God with, the more to be able to enjoy, because the Bible says that it is God that gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't just think because you've heard Bill Winston, Creflo Dollar, Frank Matchin, Kenneth Copeland, all the people that have preached finances over the years that I've heard these scriptures. If you come into it with this attitude, you'll miss the revelation that God wants you to have. But if you'll have ears to hear everything, God is going to reveal to you, I believe, individually, you'll hear things that will apply to your specific life and your specific situation. There is a mindset that God wants to change. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so as we listen to these things and allow our mindset to change, we're going to find ourselves rising higher and higher to the place where God wants us to be instead of sitting where we've been for years. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. He's talking about where's your focus? What's the thing that you look at the most? For a lot of people, it is this goal in life to get to a place that they can retire and to have enough. And so they're always living in a place that they never have enough in their life from their perspective. Did you hear what I said? They never have enough from their perspective. Now listen to me. Many people, I've experienced it a number of times, live paycheck to paycheck. Paycheck to paycheck. And if you miss a paycheck, you are messed up.
Yeah.
If you want to take some time off to spend with your children, but you know you can't get paid, then you've messed up. And so you always are feeling like, I got to keep working. I got to keep working. I got to get to that place. And what it is you're not in an area where you're thinking like God thinks. Where's your focus? If your eye be evil, if you're looking at the wrong thing, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore, if the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Amplified says mammon is deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. You can't serve both. Because if all that you're doing is you're trying to get richer and you're trying to go after more money, what that means is that goal, that desire has not really a desire, but it is a lust, and it, you are serving it. It is not serving you. Notice how he phrased this. You cannot serve God and money. See, God only created money to be a servant to us, for us to use as we want. Now, here's the other thing that I want you to get a hold of as you start thinking about finances in the kingdom of God. Jesus says you can't serve God, you can't serve money. But notice he said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It is your God's, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus never spoke when it came to kingdom finances. He never spoke in relation to money, in the sense of talking about dollars. You can't find the word dollar in the New Testament, can you? He didn't really talk about money. And a lot of times we are so focused on money and the amount of money that we need that we miss the place of supply. Think about Jesus when he was needing to use Peter's boat. He stepped into the boat and began to teach the people. There were so many people there that he had to get off the beach, step into the boat for a moment. This is over in Luke chapter 5. And as he's there preaching, when he gets done, he decides he's going to pay Peter for use of the boat. Jesus never expected anything for free. He wasn't a poor preacher, but he knew that to compensate Peter, he had to get it out of the kingdom. Jesus always went to the kingdom first. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom. Amen. Always listen to the voice of God with regards to your finances. Always listen to the voice of God with regards to what you need to do. And so by obeying the Holy Spirit, he told Peter to launch out into the deep. Now, I guess he could have turned there and said, here, Peter, how much do you want for the day? I guess he could have shelled out, you know, however many shekels of coins that Peter wanted. He could have given him 100 shekels or whatever it is. But that's not what he did. He went to the kingdom. Jesus wasn't thinking money, he was thinking kingdom. And what he did was he had them bring in so much fish that they had to beckon to the partners to come in, and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. That is what I call supply. Don't you think that Peter would have rather had that? Because he knew what to do with the fish, because that was the business that he was in. And so what do you think they did? They didn't eat it. They went and they sold it. And then they got the money and they did whatever they needed to do with it. So Jesus wasn't thinking about money. He was just thinking supply from a kingdom standpoint. Now, see, the same thing is true when it comes to the things. Why do we need money? Why do we need money? To buy stuff, to pay stuff. What stuff? Well, clothes. How many of you women like to go shopping for new clothes? Now you think about this for a moment. Let's talk about buying clothes from a kingdom perspective. Okay? couple of examples. Most of the time, we, and when I say we, I'm talking about us women. We, I'm pretending to be a woman for just a moment. Most of the time, the thinking is, honey, do I have enough money to go and go buy me a new outfit? So you go to your supply, and the great thing about it is Olivia, no, that's Brooke, Olivia and Brooke no longer have to come to Daddy about this. So these young fellas right here need to learn something about living financially in the kingdom. But most of the time, women go to their husbands, can I have money to go buy? And so you go to the husband looking for $100, $200, I don't know how much an outfit costs, $300, whatever it is, to go buy something. So you're only thinking money. But now what if you want to go beyond your husband and start going to the kingdom? What's the mindset there? Father, you said that all of these things, including clothing, would be added unto me. You said that Solomon in all of his glory couldn't even compare to how you've clothed the grass of the fields. And how much more you want to clothe me. So therefore, your idea of clothing for me is greater than the idea that Solomon had for himself. Now you're starting to see God's perspective. Now you say, Father, I'm going to the kingdom. And so, Father, I'm asking you to provide if there's a certain dress, if there's a certain outfit that you want. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to provide this for me. So now what you've done is you've gotten beyond thinking about how much it costs, and now you've started focusing on what the real desire of your heart is. The desire is not the money to pay for it. The desire is the thing itself. And now you're going to the kingdom looking for the thing instead of just focusing on just dollar amounts. See, we limit what God can do when we're just thinking about dollar amounts. But when you start focusing on the desire, the money's not the desire. It's the thing that's the desire. And God said in Psalm 37:4 that he will grant you the desires of your heart. So now I've gone there. Now what can God do? God has free reign to supply that in any way that he wants to. He can have somebody come up to you one Sunday morning or during the week and just say, I saw this outfit and it had your name written all over it, and I thought I would just buy this for you and give it to you. Now, it didn't cost you a dime. It just cost you faith in God. Or you might go to the store one day, and as you walk in, they're putting that exact outfit on sale, 50% off. And so when you didn't think that you had enough money to buy it, all of a sudden, you do have enough money to buy it. God's done it. We have to stop thinking money. We have to start thinking supply from the kingdom. It is a change in our mindset. So see, he follows that up. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Now turn with me over to Mark chapter 9. Somebody say kingdom thinking. Is it Mark chapter 9 or is it Mark chapter 10? Let's see. The rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. In verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, good master, what shall I do that I shall inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. What he was about to share with him is a result of his love and his compassion for him. And he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you shall have what? Treasure in heaven. He was trying to get him out of the natural and to start thinking from a kingdom mindset. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And the man was sad at his sayings and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I think we could also read this, for the great possessions had him. He wasn't willing to obey what the Lord said. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, see, we look at that verse and we think that he's talking about salvation, getting into heaven. But you have to realize Jesus spent his ministry preaching the gospel of the kingdom and trying to create a kingdom mindset. He said, don't say that the kingdom is here or the kingdom is there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Because this man, go to the next verse, because this man was trusting in his riches. How do I know that? The disciples, when Jesus said that, verse 24, they were astonished at his words. Now, the disciples came from successful backgrounds. James, John, Peter, Andrew, they were all fishermen. They owned their own boat. They worked together and with James and John's father. So, you know, you don't have five people or more that are working for the same company unless you're pretty successful. Matthew was a tax collector. Well, you say, well, maybe Peter and John weren't successful. Well, if they weren't, they sure were after Jesus filled up both boats. So one way or another, they were successful. They were used to being successful. And so as a result, they were astonished when Jesus said, it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then they said, as they were astonished, Jesus answered and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that what? That what? That trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Where's your trust? Where's your trust? I'm going to kind of bring this to a close. I know it's kind of a short message, but you need to, as we look at this over the next couple of weeks, you have to start changing your mindset. And this is what I keep hearing in my spirit. The more that I think about this, the more that I am praying about this, the more that I see what God is wanting to do for each one of you from a financial standpoint. Increase. Somebody say increase. The Bible says that the Lord shall increase you more and more. Increase. But what I hear in my spirit is there must be a change of our mindset. And I will tell you this, it will not come by listening to one service on it. Yeah, you're going to have to take some of these things and you're going to have to start thinking about them during the week. Meditate on them. Get the app that's for the iPhone or Google or for the Android phone, whatever we have. Go to the website, which we've just kind of refinished and everything. Just start listening to these things. Kingdom mindset, finances in the kingdom. Would you just stand with me for a moment? Let's just worship the Lord. There are some other things that I wanted to share today, but the Lord just said, stop. So let's see what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Lift your hands towards heaven right now. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Glory to your name. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, these are they that were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, they enter in and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. Brooke, will you play for a minute? For us to step into kingdom thinking for our finances, we must get rid of those three things. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, as I'm going through this, as I'm trying to minister these things, he stopped me and said, go no further. And the reason is because we can't go further till we get rid of the things that are choking the word. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't even thinking about any of this. I want you to examine your life right now. Examine it for these three things: care, worry, and anxiety. That's one thing. Care, worry, and anxiety. Are you worried about things in life? Are you worried about your finances? Are you worried about how you're going to pay for things? Are you worried about if the supply is going to be there down the road? Are you worried about your job? That worry and that care, according to Mark chapter 4, it will choke the word and it will keep the word of God from not being able to produce what the kingdom should be producing in your life. That's number one. Number two, ask yourself this question. Have you fallen into the trap of running, seeking after money? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you're not cautious, having been involved in churches that preach prosperity, and we believe in it. But if you're not cautious, you can stop following after the kingdom and start following after the prosperity. And that then lays that out there and becomes more important than the things of God. So you have to ask yourself, is that my focus? Is that what I'm after? Am I deceived by those things? Because that's not where your supply is. Your supply comes out of the kingdom. Number three, are there other things in your life that are more important than the things of God? The lusts of other things entering in. The lust, your desires that are fleshly desires. And it could be in any area. I'm not even talking about material things. Some people will take that to say that that's talking about material things. No, it has all kinds of ramifications. You know within yourself what's most important in your life. I don't want to allow anything to be a seed in my heart that grows up along with the word, that chokes the word and makes it unfruitful in my life. So if there's any one of those three things, I'm not going to ask you to come forward because I don't have room up here for the whole church. But you know, as I went through it, worry, care, anxiety, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. If that's an area in your life that you've held on to and you've placed more importance to and haven't been willing to let go and let God handle it, we're going to deal with that right now. I want you just figuratively to take that care, to take that lust for money, to take the lust for other things. And I want you to hold it in your hands. Some of you need to make it a big armful like this, okay? I want you to take that. And I want you, as you lift it up and throw it to God, I want you to see yourself being released from it in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I recognize that I have made things more important than your word. And so I'm taking these things that have held me back, and I'm now giving it all to you. Just throw it away. Just throw it away. Now I declare in the name of Jesus that you are free. You have just uprooted seeds in your life. You don't have to wait till they harvest. Now you've uprooted them. You've rooted them up. The word of God can grow freely in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Say this with me. My trust is in my Father. My supply comes from the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.